Well, good morning, everybody, and welcome. It is the Prayer Closet. It's that half hour we take out of every day to lift up your needs, cares, concerns before the Lord. If you have a prayer request for us today, 419-389-0893, 419-389-0893, or prayer@yeshome.com. That's how you can get those prayer requests to us. Whatever it may be, something big, something small, it doesn't matter. We need to bring it all before the Lord. So don't feel like it's too insignificant for God to care about, and certainly don't feel like it's too big for Him to handle. 419-389-0893 or prayer@yeshome.com. And Lord, we do thank you for this day. Thank you for your love and grace, for your mercies that are new each day. Lord, we pray your blessings upon us and upon our listeners, that they would be strengthened and encouraged by you today. Lord, we pray for those who will call in and share in with their prayer requests. Lord, that they will be encouraged by you, find their needs met by you. Lord, as you move in their lives, that their faith would be built and they would give glory to you as they see you at work in them and through them for your goodness and your purposes. We thank you, we praise you, we give you all glory because you are indeed worthy, Lord, of all of our praise. And we pray this in your name. Amen. 419-389-0893, 419-389-0893, or prayer@yeshome.com. And remember, we always keep your prayer requests anonymous. We never give out your name or information, so don't let that hinder you from getting the prayer that you need as well. 419-389-0893. And we have been looking, before we get into our prayer, we always like to get into the Word of God. We've been looking at 1 Corinthians chapter 13. We're going to wrap that up today. And we kind of looked at it through all the verses yesterday, finished up with the final verse. We're going to kind of put a conclusion to it today. It's Paul's great chapter on love. And we hear it a lot at weddings and different places. Well, they'll read from this. But what's great about Paul's chapter on love is not just that he calls us to love one another. Not just that he tells us that everything we should do should be in love. And remember the context of this. He's just gotten done talking about the spiritual gifts in chapter 12. And in chapter 13, he says, but you know what? Even if you have all these spiritual gifts and exercise them to the most of your ability, if you don't do it in love, as he says, you're a resounding gong and a clanging cymbal. It just doesn't mean anything. It means nothing. That everything we do must be undergirded by love. But the fact is, that's something we hear all the time in our culture. People always telling us, you got to love, love, love. But they never define their terms. Paul goes on to tell us what love is. And he defines love in this chapter. He doesn't just say love each other. He then tells us, this is what love is. This is what that looks like. We're going to go back and read the whole chapter here. It's very short. And just kind of get a big picture. Because we've been taking it verse by verse, mostly, as we've been looking through this and breaking it down and looking at each aspect. So today we're just going to kind of look at the big picture of it. The big picture of what Paul is telling us as we conclude with our study of chapter 13 of Corinthians. He says, and now I'll show you the most excellent way. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames, but have not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient, love is kind, does not envy, does not boast, it is not proud, it is not rude, it is not self-seeking, it is not easily angered, it keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. But where there are prophecies, they will cease, and where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part, but when perfection comes, the imperfect disappears. When I was a child, I talked like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put childish ways behind me. Now we see but a poor reflection as in a mirror, then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. And now these three remain, faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is love. And so Paul sharing with us in Corinthians, this great passage, the hope that we have, the love that is there for us. And he begins by telling us this is the most excellent way. This is what matters the most. And there's a couple of key pivots here in this passage. It begins with that first verse, that this is the most excellent way. After talking about the gifts and all the ways that we can serve, he says, but the most excellent thing we can do is to love. And the reason for that is in verse 8, because love never fails. He shows how if we exercise the gifts without love, that they're useless. It undercuts them. It actually diminishes them. All that we can do for God, if it's not done in love, it doesn't matter how well it's done or how purposefully it's done. If it's not done in love, it'll ultimately fail. It'll ultimately come to nothing because it's love that never fails. The rest of these things can all fail. and knowledge and tongues and prophecy, all these things are going to pass away. They're not permanent. But only the most excellent way, the way of love, is the way that never fails. Because it's love that perfects us. It's love that matures us. It's love that strengthens us. It's love that saves us. I've told this story, although it's been quite a while. But I think it really reflects this. And it's a story from a movie called The Fisher King. And I won't go into the whole details of the movie. It's not really relevant to the story. But at one point, one of the characters in the movie tells this story. And it's about the tale of the Fisher King. And the Fisher King was a young boy who was slated to be king. But he had to prove himself worthy, right? He had to prove that he was brave enough and strong enough and courageous enough to be king. And so he had to go out into the dark woods and spend the night alone without anyone there to help him or protect him. And so he goes off into the woods and he's there in the dark all by himself and he lights a little fire and he's kind of sitting there, maybe a little nervous, maybe a little scared, waiting for the dawn. And he has a vision. A vision overcomes him. And there in the fire, he sees the Holy Grail, supposedly the cup Jesus drank from on the night he was betrayed. And he hears a voice saying, "You shall be the keeper of the Grail, the divine symbol of God's holy grace, that it may heal the hearts of men." And in that moment, that young boy stopped feeling like a scared little boy in the woods. He didn't even feel like a king. In that moment, he felt almost like a god. And so he reached in the fire to grab the Holy Grail. But as he reached for it, it disappeared. And his hands were left in the fire to be badly burned. In the morning, the boy returned and was eventually made king, but the wounds on his hands never healed. And in fact, they began to deepen and grow worse. And he began to die. And as he began to die, his kingdom began to die with him. And so the great leaders of the kingdom gathered together and they deeply concerned and said, "We must quest for the Grail. It's the only thing that can heal the king." And so they sent out all the best knights that they had. They gathered them together and they sent them off in every direction to go and seek for the Holy Grail. And one day, a fool wandered into the castle and he came upon the king. He found him laying there in his bed, very ill. And the fool, being a simple man, didn't see a king. He just saw a man who was suffering and in pain. And so he said to him, "Hail, friend, what ails you?" And the king said, I'm thirsty. And so the fool got a cup of water and he dipped it, or got a cup, and he dipped it into a barrel of water that was sitting there. And he brought it to the king, and the king began to drink. And as he began to drink, he realized his hands were healed. The wounds on his hands had been healed. And he looked down, and there in his hands, the cup he was drinking from was the Holy Grail. And he looked at the fool, stunned. And he said to him, "How is it that you were able to find what my best and my greatest could not?" And the fool said, "Oh, I don't know. I only knew that you were thirsty." The power of that story, the wonderful thing of that story, is that what heals the king is the love of the fool. The fool doesn't bring him the cup because he's the king and he thinks he can get favors from him. He doesn't even know he's the king. He doesn't do it to gain awards or money or wealth or position or power. He just sees someone in need, and he goes to meet that need because he cares. He shows love to the king. In humility and quietness and gentle concern, he shows his love. And it's his love that heals the king who lost his opportunity when presented with the chance to share the grace of God. Arrogantly tried to grab it for himself. Did the fool know the cup was the Grail? Who knows? But whatever the cup was, he was willing to freely give it away to heal another and help another. And that's what love does. Love takes all these wonderful things that we have received from God. And it's not by accident that this chapter follows Paul's teachings on the gifts. All these spiritual gifts are things we've received from the Lord, these wonderful things that we've received from God. And we can do two things with them. We can exercise them for our glory. We can use these things for our glory, like the king reaching for the Grail, trying to glorify himself. We can take these gifts and try to glorify ourselves with them, exalt ourselves with them. Or we can take these gifts that Paul's talking about and teaching us about, and we can use them to help others. We can give them away, not for our glory, but for the glory of God and to care for one another. And to care for others. like the fool who quietly gives the king a drink and gives away the Holy Grail, gives away the grace of God. Love takes these wonderful things that we've received from God and gratefully, joyfully, eagerly, kindly gives them away to other people, seeking no glory for ourselves, but only honor for the Father. And to do right by others, to help others, to care for others. That's the attitude of love. The hero of our story isn't the great knights, it isn't the great king. It's a lowly fool, who in truth is the wisest of them all. And when we show love and give love, we show our wisdom as well. Whatever God has given you, whatever talents, whatever abilities, give them away. Give them away in love. And that, and in that, you will be living the most excellent way. This has been the Prayer Closet. Thanks so much for tuning in. Remember, if you have a prayer request for us, you can call our office Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. As always, people here will be happy to pray with you at 419-389-0893. You can get your prayer request to us at any time by emailing or texting at prayer@yeshome.com. And you can get connected to a live online spiritual coach for live online chat session. That's available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at our website, yeshome.com. Just click on the chat now button. I'm Pastor Tommy Briggs. This has been the Prayer Closet. Thanks so much for joining us, everybody. Have a great day.